us by his own glory and goodness. Yet you know, and I know, through experience, that this is not axiomatic, is it? Hasn't been in my life. Is it in yours? Our participation is required. And if you read the full text of that passage, Peter goes into what our participation is. And that's what we're talking about today with our seminar. We're continuing with our seminar today on the covenants. We had a seminar format last week, and we learned a lot last week. We're going to continue with that. And pursuant to that, if you weren't here last week, or if you forgot, we'll let that go this one time, if you forgot. Dave will pass out the sheet to you. So if you need this seminar sheet on the covenants, let Dave know. Here he comes. These aren't a bad thing to review and study, these sheets. You know, I remember I used to think, what do I do for my spiritual discipline time? You know, you're always told you should practice spiritual discipline, you should read scripture, you should study. But what? Where do you start with that sort of thing? Well, this is a great guide. Everybody connected there? Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, pencils, good idea, Heather. Yeah. The purpose of our faith. We learned that last week. You wonder what the purpose of your faith is. This verse in Revelation is so powerful. In two verses, we get it. Jesus takes the scroll. He's the one that's worthy. Why is he worthy? Because he sacrificed. Why did he sacrifice? To redeem people, but not just redeem people. Redeem people for God. So there must be some purpose here. Yes, you redeem people for God, they're forgiven. But that's not the end game. Please understand that. Forgiveness is not the end game. Like Zara said, remember what I said last week when he found out Jesus had been resurrected? He says, now it begins. He got it. Well, what's the end game? Verse 10 is the end game. You did all this. You were sacrificed. You forgave. Now, here's your purpose tomorrow. Here's your purpose. You made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. That starts now, tomorrow, today. That's your present status, and that's your present activity. It's your future status, and it's your future activity. It's the now and the not yet. You're already a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He did it. He made you that way. Now, it has to be actuated. It has to be implemented. And Judy gave us a great venue for that, a way to implement this. So that's the purpose of our faith. Now, we go to number two today, and this is all we'll get done today, is number two. In order to understand, you need to understand the covenants. If you don't understand the covenants and you try to read Scripture, listen, you will never understand it. Ever. You know, I used to read Scripture, and Scripture would talk about the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews were the chosen people, and all of those words just kind of got jumbled up in my head. How about you? You know, when you read Paul's letters, and he says, we and they and you, and I've said, who's he talking about? And what's so special about the Jews, and what was their job after all, and did they fail, and how about the Gentiles? How did they come in? And all of that used to just be a muddle to me. Well, the Holy Spirit made that so clear to me. that it changed my faith, and I know it'll change yours if the Holy Spirit can get this inside of you. And the way he's going to get it inside of you is this week you are all going to go rent or get the movie The Dirty Dozen. You understand, you will never again wonder about the Jews if you watch The Dirty Dozen. One of our favorite movies at our house. It's a guy movie. Teresa says she never gets to pick out the movies. So The Dirty Dozen was not your pick, right? But you liked it. Yeah, she's a good sport. So what's The Dirty Dozen about? The Dirty Dozen is this. In World War II, the Nazis had occupied France. And they took over a chateau in France where all of the hierarchy of the German officers would get together at the chateau and plan their strategies and have parties and so forth. So the Allied command came up with an idea. Here we have all of the officers collected in one place, as it were. Now, if we could strike those officers, if we could get a special force, a Delta force, so to speak, special ops, to infiltrate and get into that chateau and annihilate these evil, the Nazis were evil, annihilate them, it would cripple their operations in France, and it would free the French people. Okay? So they go to the prison. It was Lee Marvin. He was the major. Great role for him. And Ernest Borgnine's in there, too. And Charles Bronson and Telly Savalas and Donald Sutherland. It's just, they do such a great job of this. So they go to the prison, okay? People who are trapped in slavery. Trapped in a prison, and their end is death. They got no way out. And they pick out 12 condemned prisoners. And they take the condemned prisoners out. And first of all, they redeem them from the prison. All right, that's number one. They free them. They take them out of their cell, out of their captivity, and they bring them to the major. So they're in the prison. They have an exodus from the prison cell after they've been redeemed, and they go to the major. And the major says to them, you might wonder why we gave you this redemption, this pardon, as it were, and we let you out of your prison, and we brought you to us. Here, he said, here's what I want you to do. Here's the deal. This is the Jews. We want you, 12 condemned prisoners who have now been released from that condemnation, who are mired and trapped in sin, no way out, and we want you to go and infiltrate this country, France, and we want you to go to the chateau where all of the sin, as it were, of the Nazis is concentrated in this one spot. It's all there. And we want you to go to do, we redeemed you, we got you out of prison for that reason. There's no guarantees. And they told him right up front, no guarantees for you. Your redemption and getting out of the slavery of sin and death has a purpose attached to it. And the purpose is, you're going to be our special ops. You're going to be the Green Beret or the Delta Force. You're going to be the Navy SEALs. And you're going into this chateau to free the Frenchmen, to free people you've never met. What's in it for you? This is your purpose. What's in it for you? You were redeemed for this reason, and this is your operation. After they were freed from the prison, they agreed, the 12 Dirty Dozen, they agreed. Then they went through a period of training. They lived together in a barracks, and the major trained them on how to be this special ops to get into this chateau, kill the Germans, free the people of France. So they put the operation together. They go, they attack the chateau. 11 of them are killed. Only one survives. But the mission was accomplished. And the chateau was destroyed, and the evil of the Nazis that was concentrated in that chateau was destroyed, and France, as a result, France was liberated. That's the old covenant. Here's God's people. You know the story of the Jews? Here's God's people. Jacob and his sons run out of food. A famine comes. And Jacob, of course, Joseph, you know the story about that. They sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph's in Egypt. And the only food anywhere is in Egypt. So Jacob sends his sons to Egypt. And that's where it all begins. And Joseph recognizes them. They come to live. You know, that's how they got there. The Jews became, they multiplied and became kind of a powerful force in Egypt, and Pharaoh and the Egyptian people said, well, we can't have this, we're going to take over, so they enslaved them. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt from anywhere, the numbers are kind of sketchy, 430 to 480 years, something like that. Anyway, centuries, they're slaves. No hope. They're trapped in this sin and death of Egypt. They have no way to get out of there. They are overpowered, overmatched by the Egyptians. Their future is bleak. They've got nothing going for them. They're slaves to sin of Egypt, and they are slaves to the death that comes to Egypt, in Egypt. Here comes Moses. And Moses has a cell. Just like the major had to sell the Dirty Dozen on something. Moses tells these people, this God you've never heard of before, his name's now Yahweh to you, this God that you really have, and I don't blame you because you've been in slavery for 430 years, I don't know why you would even believe me, but listen, if you trust me, if you believe me, this God is going to free you, liberate you from your slavery of sin, your slavery of death. And he's going to lead you out of this, and that's going to be called what we call the Exodus. Got it so far? So he redeems them, first of all. How does he redeem them? Remember the story? What do they do on their doors? What do they do? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. How did they, the redemption for those Egyptians was, they went out and they put blood above their doors. Remember? And the angel of death comes into Egypt that night, and every firstborn in that Egypt is killed by the angel of death, except for these houses that have the blood of a lamb. You see this? On the top of their door. And if they have the blood of the lamb on top of their door, the angel of death passes by. They've been redeemed. The next thing they do to show, as a result of them being redeemed, they gather themselves together and they leave Egypt. The Exodus. In the third month, on the same day of the month, 3 months to the day that they leave Egypt, they camp at Mount Sinai, and they're facing the mountain. Moses goes up to the mountain, and he gets his instructions from God. And God says, this is what you're going to say to the Israelites. I want you to explain to the Israelites. And here's where we pick up together at number two there on your sheet, verse 5. Now, in other words, you may be wondering, say to the Israelites, you may be wondering why I redeemed you. Because he says, you saw what I did to the Egyptians, and you saw how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. When you are forgiven, you're redeemed, your next step is an exodus from the sin that had been enslaving you. Your exodus shows that you've been redeemed. Now get this crystal clear. You don't do the exodus to get redeemed. You got this? God acts first. He redeems you first, you leave the slavery of sin as a sign that you have been redeemed. You see the difference? It's not how to get in, Rocky. It shows who is in. When the Egyptians participated in the Exodus and left Egypt, it wasn't how they got redeemed. It showed that they had been redeemed. So they come. They come to the mountain. And God says, I brought you to me for a purpose. Each person hearing me right now, sitting here and listening on the internet, God has brought you to him for a purpose. We do not have a benign faith. And look what he says. Now, you saw what I did, in other words, and then he says to them, and he says to me, and he says to you, your turn. I did this. I redeemed you. I brought you to me. Your turn. Now, he says, it begins. And two things you've got to do. We always talk about the differences in the Old and the New Covenant. I want to tell you, they are strikingly similar. There is one difference in the two covenants, only one difference. I want you to see the similarities. Now, if you will do two things, if you will listen to me, number one, and number two, carefully keep my covenant. Two things. I've done my part. I've forgiven you. I redeemed you. I redeemed you for a purpose. I brought you to myself. I took care of those Egyptians. I liberated you from a hopeless life of sin and death. That's what he did for me. He liberated me from a hopeless slavery in a condemned cell. And he brought me to him. And then he said very much this, now, your turn. I did my part. You, though, have to listen, number one, and you have to carefully keep, number two. And if you do that, look what'll happen. They become something. The purpose of the covenant is all about us becoming something. What? You will become, I added that word, become, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. The whole world, Lee Marvin says to those 12 condemned prisoners, the prison is full of prisoners. And I could have chosen any one of them because I have purview over that entire prison. I chose you 12. You listen and keep, and if you do that, you'll be my possession, even though I could choose anybody. The whole earth is mine. I could have chosen anybody, but I choose you Jews. I choose you Israelites. You are now the Delta Force. I got an operation for you I need you to complete. You know, Judy talks about this shoebox thing. And we always, why doesn't God act? Why doesn't God act to just take care of those people? That's, you know, that's the big beef that the pagan world, the secular world has against God. Well, if there is a God, why doesn't he? Thus and so. God is saying to these people, I need you. God doesn't work in the air. And he needs, and I know that's a paradox, God need, I understand that, I get that, but we're at the borders of language. But on the other hand, I understand, you know, I was thinking last night we were watching Star Trek, Into the Darkness, you seen that, Nathan? Yeah, I figured. It's the newest installment of the Star Trek thing, and Tommy and I and Teresa watched it, and it's really, it's a good show. And I thought when I was watching that, you know, Gene Roddenberry he was an atheist, professed atheist, and he wrote this series, a very profound series. But, you know, God used Gene Roddenberry because that series, that whole Star Trek thing is closer to the money than we could ever imagine about our future as God's people. And I realized when I was watching that God, if you were God, what would interest you? what would you do to amuse yourself, so to speak? What would you do that would give you pleasure and joy? And then I realized, humanity. He must get tremendous joy and pleasure watching us. Don't you enjoy watching your kids and watching them learn and watching them grow and interacting with them? And then it hit me, that's what God does with us. And he takes such great pleasure in our comings and goings and toings and froings and giving us projects and watching how we complete those projects. And that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. And that's what Star Trek is about. Star Trek is about these people going out into the farthest reaches of the universe. And I'm telling you, we are going to be doing that. Into ever more increasing creative adventures that God is going to send us on and watch. Anyway, that's a sidebar. So he says, you're mine. And here's what you're going to be doing. Verse 6. Here's what my possession looks like. What does it mean to be God's possession on the ground? What does that look like? My possession looks like you will be my kingdom of priest and my holy nation. I chose you. I brought you to me. I redeemed you. Now you have a role to play. It's your turn. You have to do two things. Listen and carefully keep. Let me tell you something. The new covenant is no different. And I'm going to show you that. The new covenant says exactly this. You will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. Now, you see that phrase, my kingdom of priests? This is what I do on my sheets. You can do it if you want. I circled my kingdom of priests on that phrase. Okay? Then I looked up above there at the Revelation verse 5:10, and I see, a kingdom of priests. I see the same exact phrase. So I drew a circle around kingdom of priests there. I drew a circle around kingdom of priests there, and I drew an arrow between them. And I said, when I did that, I said, whoa, the old covenant was to accomplish the purposes that God says here at the very end of the book. I don't see any difference there, do you? The old covenant was to create a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then Revelation says, yes, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. Wouldn't you, they're camped there. They know nothing about Yahweh. They know nothing about why they've been saved, why they've been redeemed. And I got news for you, brothers and sisters. We're in the same boat. For years, I didn't know what the forgiveness, I guess my forgiveness was about what? What was our forgiveness for? Yes. Go to heaven when I die. Right? End of story. I look at these covenants, I look at Scripture, I don't see that. Yes, that's true. Okay, don't misunderstand me. Yes, that's true. But the purpose is here and now in the hurly-burly of this fallen world that we live in, because God does see that there is no justice reaching the world, and he is offended, just like Isaiah 59. He sees these children in the orphanages, and he's offended that no one is offending. He's amazed, in fact, that no man is interceding. What were the Israelites to do? They were to take the law, they were to listen and keep, remember? They were to take the law that came from on high, and they were to live it out on the ground. They were to implement it. What good is the law if it's on stone tablets and not implemented? Heather, did you just raise your hand? Okay. This is a seminar. Heather, what is your question, Heather?
I'm just curious, are we becoming God's people because we responded or because he chose us?
Okay, I'm going to refer you to Ben on that question, and he will explain that to you after the service. Okay. That's a great question. And really, Heather, my own feeling on that is this, that God and his Spirit Paul even says that God has no favorites, and that the Holy Spirit and God would work on every heart and convict and try and draw every person. My own theology is our response is needed. Our response is absolutely needed to respond to that call. Does that answer that? Okay. Thank you, Heather. So they were to take this law and live it out on the ground. They were to implement it. Listen and keep. Now here, and we end with this. Here was what they wanted to do, and here's what we want to do, I think. They were just content that they had received it. You see? Do you recognize that language? You are to receive forgiveness. You're to receive Jesus and stop there. And that is exactly what they did. Implementation was optional. Implementation, not necessary. They were simply happy that they had just received the law, and that gave them a special status that they were loath to give up. They didn't want to attack the chateau. They refused the mission. They wouldn't, they couldn't, and they didn't, because they understood the minute they completed their mission, what happens to their status? Teresa, what happens to their status once the mission is completed? Exactly. Exactly. They lose their status. They were all about receiving and very little about listening and keeping. And God responds to this, as we'll see. Let's pray. Our Lord and Master, I pray that you would bless these words and you would encourage us with these words. You would enable us, Lord, to be your kingdom of holy priests and your nation. We ask this in your name. Amen.